What is good? It's your homegirl, Jen City, and you are listening to today's Boondoggle Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to this intro before the intro of our today's Boondoggle Radio Show. As you know, we're a veteran-owned and operated podcast, and this has been an incredibly therapeutic journey for me as a veteran that struggles with PTSD and anxiety, just getting out and talking to people. But it does cost us some money, so if you feel so obliged to donate to our GoFundMe, we have a GoFundMe under Today's Boondoggle. We also have a Venmo at Today's Boondoggle that you can donate to. Our Anchor sponsorship at anchor.fm/today's boondoggle. Any questions, comments, suggestions, complaints, you can email us at todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. And please follow us on our social media sites at Today's Boondoggle on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all your social media platforms, as well as our YouTube channel, our Rumble channel, and our BitChute channel. Please follow, subscribe, comment, and download. And please consider checking out our sponsors. If you support our sponsor, Dream Nutrition, you can receive 10% off your order by using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. So Dream Nutrition, they're a veteran-owned and operated company as well, so please support them and receive 10% off using the promo code BOONDOG10. Thanks for your time, and thanks for listening.
The pinnacle of rock festivals in the United States. Sonic Temple Art and Music Festival returns to historic Crew Stadium with the biggest lineup ever to rock Columbus. Slipknot, Disturbed, Pantera, Limp Bizkit, Evanescence, Judas Priest, Stain, Rise Against, and the original Misfits. Plus, A Day to Remember, Falling in Reverse, Breaking Benjamin, 311, Sleep Till Seether, In This Moment, Mudvayne, Cypress Hill, Sum 41, Kerry King, Anthrax. And that's just the beginning. Over 120 bands, 4 days, and for the first time ever, a fourth stage to give you more metal, more rock, and more mayhem. May 16th through the 19th at historic Crew Stadium in Columbus, Ohio. Tickets on sale today at SonicTempleFestival.com.
Some people will go to any lengths to pop, my man. I mean pop. Like, just this past year, I resorted to deadlifting my girl's Tesla so my chassis could outshine the competition. But what's more important is nutrition. And that just blows my mind. That's why I let TNT Health put together my workout and meal plan, and everyone's seeing results now. And that's why it makes my heart soar like a hawk to share with all of today's Boondoggle fans that if you use promo code Boondoggle, you can receive 10% off your purchase at TNTHealth.com. So remember what the macho man says. Go to TNTHealth.com. Get some product. Use promo code Boondoggle and save. Especially if you want pythons the size that look like they come off of Skull Island.
Yeah. Now hang it up. Hang it up now. Yeah.
Listen up! Hold on to your seats! Grab your girls! Grab your beers!
What's going on? It's Tommy Beck, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
This is Mark Metcalf, and you are listening to Today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio.
You are listening to Today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio. Yes, Kato Kalin listens to this all the time.
Welcome to Today's Boondoggle. Now,
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with today's boondoggle. And a real quick housekeeping note, if you're watching us on YouTube or Rumble or BitChute or Odyssey, please hit that follow and subscribe button. And if you're listening to us on Spotify, Apple, Google, whatever podcast platform you're utilizing, please hit that follow and subscribe button so we can continue to bring you conversations like the one I'm bringing you today. We are talking with I knew I should have asked you before we went live how to pronounce your last name. Tiffany?
Fabiani.
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 Fabiani. Fabiani. From the band Enemy of Fate. How are you doing, Tiffany?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
I'm good. It's finally warming up a little bit. I'm in the Cleveland, Ohio area. So, yeah, we're supposed to be getting a lot of snow.
You guys have some rough weather right now. I don't envy you.
Yeah. But oh well, it is what it is. I'm down in my bunker getting to interview people like you, so I'm good. But usually when I have somebody on for the first time, I like to get a quick background. So do you remember originally what you wanted to be when you grew up?
I actually wanted to be a criminal defense lawyer, and here we are.
Nice.
So. Yes, that and a ballerina. So I did half of my stint. I've been a dancer for many years and taught dance for a long time. So hip hop, tap, and jazz, that's kind of been my passion in the art of music and artistic expression. That's where it spawned from. So I've taken dance since I was 3 at the Ballet Dance Academy in San Francisco and just carried on that love for music and dance for many, many years.
Nice. And then what was it? Do you remember why you wanted to be a criminal defense lawyer? Were you watching like Criminal Minds and stuff like that?
I am fantastic at arguing. and I've always challenged the process and questioned the process and things since I was very little. That is my mom and a very logical thinker. So it was just something I was always interested in.
And I could see like the, you know, Fabiana Law Firm on Ani Law Firm.
The fabulous
on the billboard
app.
Somewhere. But so then, you know, so you said dance was kind of, you got into dance early on. And then when did obviously you were doing performances dancing, but when did like the singing start coming in?
You know, that was an amazing family pastime for me growing up. We spent a lot of time, we're a large family. And so we spent a lot of time gathering, and a lot of that surrounded the evening hours in, singing old Motown songs and, songs that were really relevant in the 1800s. I'm not that old. The 80s and 90s. Growing up. So we did a lot of time like karaokeing together. My mom.
Say, you're holding up pretty well for.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not decrepit yet.
That sunshine's doing you well out there.
Yeah. So just growing up and the family pastime being, kind of gathering around the stereo and singing together. That's really where my love for singing began. And it just has carried on throughout my life with me. In, trials and tribulations, it's always been music that has gotten me through those times. So it's just stayed with me for the years of my life. I was never intending to take my music career, to a more professional level. But I had a husband who just loves me to sing. And so he's been a big encouragement for me to pursue this career. So here we are.
That's awesome. It always helps to have good support system,
Yes, but, yes. My biggest cheerleader, my biggest fan. So that, God loves that,
him. That's great. And then, like, who were some of your early influences growing up?
You know, my music taste is so eclectic. I would say the Eagles are a big influence from past tense all the way. That carries through today. Their storytelling and their music is amazing, and I'm in awe how they put it together. So they've continued through from a young age to today. But growing up on Motown, you know, Gladys Knight, Aretha Franklin, Earth, Wind & Fire, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, those are also very strong influences, far more soulful than you hear in my music today. But I think in the style of singing that I've developed, you hear that definitely resonates in the tones, the tonality of the singing, the vocals in our songs.
Gotcha. And then it says that you also write your own songs. Like, when did songwriting become a passion?
Actually, it wasn't that long ago. It was when we started having these conversations early last year. You know, our one of our business partners was looking for a female vocalist, and he hadn't heard me sing because I don't promote my singing. I just do it, you know, did it for fun. And my husband, of course, being who he is, looking for, you know, a female vocalist, he's like, well, hey, we got one sitting right here. So, you know, the partner and my husband and I went back to the house, and I put on my phone and Adele song. And started singing, and he flashed around and stared at me. He's like, where have you been? So that led into getting into the studio. And I really wanted to take that opportunity seriously. And one day I was sitting thinking about this process and going into the studio and what am I going to sing about? And in about 30 minutes, I had wrote our debut single, Dear Dad. And it was spawned from, you know, the trials and tribulations and how to overcome those situations with absence of parents in our lives growing up. It was a story. I felt like it was important for me and my growth and full circle development, as well as people that still struggle with parental absence, to write a song that encourages, tells the story, but encourages people to overcome the obstacles that come with absent parents. So
yeah, I was,
that's where the writing started.
And I mean, you know, obviously, you know, from the heart, with that, and, you know, almost like, therapeutic for you, like you were saying, to kind of put it on, put pen to paper, get what you were feeling out, and then sing it with, you know, the raw emotion that comes with that. And I was so moved hearing that myself. You know, I'm a dad of two daughters, and you know, I made a lot of mistakes in the past, you know, and I try, you know, my daughters teach me how to be a better man every day, and they're young grown women now, you know, but you can always be better. You can always, you know, every day is like a learning experience. But it was just like, man, that song was like really hit me, like, you know, I might have screwed up a lot, but I've been here screwing up, you know, and sometimes that could be good or bad, you know, it depends on what kind of screwing up they experience. But, you know, the fact that they both still choose to live with me, and I've been a single dad for a while, I guess the fact that I've taken it serious and tried to be there, you know, and keep improving, you know, I guess says something. But, you know, it just, you know, I could feel the heartbreak in the lyrics. And then I was watching the video too, and I was just like, I don't know how. I mean, you know, I had some of those friends. I used to run around with those circles, you know, that just like, it's my weekend with my kid. Like, it was a burden, you know? Mm-hmm. And I never wanted to be that person. And, you know, I had my ups and downs with addiction and stuff like that, you know, but I'm 14 years sober now. And yeah. You know, it's just like, I couldn't imagine anything else, you know.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing. And, you know, we're not perfect. Nobody is perfect. We're all human beings, and parenting is not an easy feat. But to stay in the fight and make the choice every day to be present, good, bad, or indifferent is significant. And that will stay with our children always. And so that is very commendable of you, and to overcome your personal battles of, you know, that have inflicted you. I think that's very admirable. And I would say that, and very respectful that you step up to the plate as a single dad every day. So it's unfortunate we can't say that about all parents, moms or dads. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for the kids, but to be present and to make that choice every day is admirable. So
you putting that song out, you know, hopefully even the ones that, you know, we always do get some point of hitting a bottom or some point of self-reflection, you know, and hopefully it can be, you know, a way to, for guys out there to turn it around, you know, that haven't been, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, my situation was with my father, my biological father, who just has made a choice to just not be present. And that's okay. I've accepted that, but the turmoil that comes being young and having to endure the absence and questioning myself, what did I do wrong? What is wrong with me? Why doesn't he love me? Why doesn't he want to partake in my life? But I think that resonates for people too, that have not had a parent like a mother figure or a grandparent or an aunt, if their parents aren't around at all, you know, to not be present and to make that choice to not be present in the lives of your children is impactful. Always. It will always bear impact. And unfortunately, some of us don't overcome those obstacles. So I feel like when I wrote the song, while it was personal for my parent situation, I knew that the story told could resonate with so many more kids and adults that still struggle with the absence of a parent, whether they passed on or, you know, when they were young or, and I found the song to be very cathartic when it was written. And then more so when I recorded it, it was very emotional, because you want to draw in that emotion into the music. That's what delivers the message in such an impactful way. But to hear it once it was finally mixed and mastered and done and ready to go to radio, I was overcome with emotion, just because of the reflection and, you know, celebrating that I was able to share this very intimate story in a way that also embraced how I've been able to overcome that absence and how it's made me stronger. So taking a moment in self-reflection was really celebrated that day. And I'm very proud of that track.
Well, yeah. And like I was saying, I mean, I could hear it on the journey myself. And then, you know, I was doing some self-reflecting, you know, I guess we tend to always kind of make things about ourselves sometimes, good or bad, but you know, I was self-reflecting, listening to it and feeling it. And I may or may not have gotten something in my eye during that period. But, I mean, that was your debut single, and mm-hmm. I guess what a way to come in and, you know, get people's attention and grab them by the heart. You know, it's what's the journey been like? You know, well, I did read that you had at one time tried out for the show The Voice.
Yes, twice.
And was this before the whole recording in the studio?
Yes, absolutely. So my first tryout was in 2019. And I flew down to LA because I'm in Northern California, drove down to LA, auditioned live in person. And it's like such a herd of cattle, you know, moving through. There was literally tens of thousands of us that were auditioning, and we would go into an audition room as a group of 10. So it was like, you know, moving a herd of cattle through, and you got 30 seconds to audition. You sang what you sang a cappella. And then you sat down in your chair and waited for all 10 of you to perform. And then they picked off who they were going to keep for the next round or who they weren't. So yeah, it was such an emotional, nerve-wracking process. I wasn't chosen in that moment, and I really beat myself up over it and just thought, okay, well, you know, maybe I'm not good enough. And I know that resonates with a lot of us. And, 'cause you always, the self-doubt always kicks in when you're not when you're not chosen for, you know, the dodgeball team or, you know, the baseball team, or growing up, you weren't given the promotion at the job that you really wanted. So it's always self-reflection. And so I tabled singing for a while and just did it for fun, you know, on Friday nights with my friends down at the local watering hole. And it was my husband that continued to push and encourage me to rise above it and go again and don't give up on myself. And I think that was the biggest message and the biggest gift that he could have ever given me was to never give up on yourself, never give up on pursuing your passions and your dreams, no matter how far along it takes you to get there.
Yeah. And what did you like learn from that first time experience that you took in when you tried again?
Well, it was overwhelming for me to hear the stories of people that had gone for 6 or 7 or 8 times, continued to audition. That is what I took away from that experience, was never doubt. When you believe in yourself and believe in, you know, whatever it is that you're pursuing, don't stop, no matter what anybody tells you. And so that was the takeaway. You know, I had my bumps and bruises and beat myself up, and I had my moment of, you know, oh, I can't do this. But at the end of the day, it's a choice that we make to rise above that and continue to pursue our passions. So that's really what I got from that experience. So I'm thankful for it. And that I can sing out in public, you know, like on the spot and not be so nervous that you buckle. That's, you know, kind of a fear you got to overcome too. So.
Yeah, because there's one thing, you know, like you said, you know, at the local watering hole in front of some strangers, but your friends or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but then to go there and then that red light turns on, you know, and that camera.
Yeah, it's the judgment. Like, you're really literally being judged based on how many facets, you know. None of us were told why we weren't chosen. So I don't know if it was my look that day. It could have been the demographic that I sit in. It could have been so many things, because it's such a big production. You never know. So you do walk away wondering why. And that'll be a question that I will never get an answer to. But yeah, it was such an adrenaline rush. It's nerve wracking. You know, my stomach's in my throat. So, but the sentiment was felt across the entire wave of the room that day, all thousands of us, you know, sitting there in anticipation, waiting to be called up for your 30 seconds of spotlight, you know, and you've got somebody behind a laptop who's just watching you, very poker face, you know, very stoic. And then they say, stop and thank you and have a seat. And then that's it. So.
And then after that second time, you went home, what did you take from that? Then,
The second time was a little unique because COVID was very prevalent and the restrictions of COVID were very prevalent. So that one was actually done online. So that audition was virtual. And you could go into the audition room, record yourself, and continue to keep recording yourself over and over until you were satisfied with what video clip you were delivering and sending in. So you do that. It was just such a different dynamic. There wasn't the excitement buildup. It was just me and a screen in my dining room where I had set everything up and just went for it, click send. And like 30 seconds later, I got a thanks, but no thanks. I mean, it was just such a vast difference in the experiences. It was so cold and just technical, that it was just like, okay, I'm not doing that again. That's not for me. So
I mean, would you say that one was probably, you know, even though it, you know, you weren't there in front of all that with your, I'm sure, you know, you'd still prefer the experience of being there than just like a virtual, like, you know, a non-feeling, you know?
Yeah, it was very, it was just very cold and just such, it was such a technical, like, yeah, for me, and I was already going into it with a lot of doubt from my first experience. So I was already setting myself up mentally that I wasn't going to be chosen. So I was questioning myself, like, what am I doing here? Why am I doing this? Well, you know, somebody else wants me to, so I'm going to pursue this for them, and it, you know, leave it at that. So going into that, I already had set myself up for failure. So when the response came back, it was like, yeah, well, I expected that. And so that sat with me for a while, a long while, several years actually. And then this opportunity to get before a music development team and just casually sing with passion and heart, because it was a, you know, a personal friend and business partner of ours that was listening, made all the difference. So it's such a tough experience when you know, have very critical eyes and ears on you, and that pressure, if you're not used to that, can be very overwhelming. And it takes nothing for self-doubt to kick in. And even though I may not have thought I was delivering that self-doubt, it could have been all over my face. It could have been in my tone, so many different things. But again, it's one of those things when you audition, sometimes you just never know. And you just have to accept that and reflect and learn what you can from the opportunity.
Yeah, it's kind of like makes you think about where we're headed with AI and everything like that. You know, the lack of connection and emotion. And obviously, like we were saying earlier, when me listening to Dear Dad, I could feel that connection and emotion in the song. So obviously with this new environment with somebody you're comfortable with, you know, you get to actually, you know.
Well, and I was relaying a story of my own. So the passion and the raw emotion was already going to come naturally. Whereas in a audition on The Voice, I was singing somebody else's song. So I didn't have the same emotional connection to somebody else's music that I had in my own. Because it was an opportunity for Dear Dad to share my story. And so I think that lent a big difference on how the delivery of the songs went from the technical standpoint. Yeah, for sure.
And now that, you know, since Dear Dad, you know, I know, is it Devil's Prey is the current single.
Yes.
And, I know there's another, you know, raw story behind that as well. You care to share?
Yeah, it's about emotional and physical abuse that people endure from all walks of life, and what that experience felt like in the moment of time, and how an individual feels when they're being belittled and manipulated and taken advantage of and beaten down to nothing. That was a life that I had lived for far too many years. And that story is surrounded by that experience and how I was able to overcome that when I finally stepped out of my own life and looked at it from, you know, kind of an overbearing bird's eye view. Like, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing to yourself? What have you become? I was really nothing like who I am, because, you know, the person that I was with that made me feel that way was very good at making sure that I had no confidence because of the control factor that they had to have at all times. Control over me, control over my emotions, control over everything. And so any time I had challenged or questioned, now remember, I wanted to be a criminal defense attorney, so I'm very vocal about things that I question. I want to know the whys and have the hows. And I was, you know, brutally beaten for it. And so it was a very dark place in my life. And, you know, the years later, reflecting, as we all do, reflecting on our life experiences, I'm grateful every day that I was able to escape that situation and recover and find myself in a new version of me, stronger, better, smarter, and far more independent, and standing on my own 2 feet than I had ever been. And so I wanted to share that experience with the world, because I know that there's people today that are still stuck in those environments, and they don't see a way out, because when you're in such a dark place, it's like, oh, well, this is the best my life is going to get, you know, hopefully I don't get punched today. Hopefully I don't get thrown against a wall today or choked out. I know people are still stuck in those dark places. So I wanted to send a message of, look, people recognize and people have been there, and you can get out. You can escape, and you can be supported and loved in a healthier way and become a better version of you. You don't have to stay. So that's kind of where the spawn of Devil's Prey came from. And we used a Little Red Riding Hood theme as, you know, the wolf and, you know, Little Red Riding Hood just kind of going on about life and being chased down by this, you know, this thing. And she was able to get out. So.
Yeah. And it was, you know, I was reading about the song, but also really connecting on this one too, because it's like, you know, there's you run in, I mean, there, you know, people don't know about, like, until they experience it, like what it is like being involved with, like, a narcissist, you know, mm-hmm. somebody with a narcissistic personality disorder. And you know, even if it's not, like, you know, I just recently ended a friendship, you know, quote unquote friendship, you know, with a classic narcissist. You know, you don't see, you start seeing the signs later on. You're like, this person is helping me, but then it's always transactional, or they're keeping me at, like, when I start getting better, they got to keep pull me down to let them know that I owe them. You know, it's always like this, yeah, this control thing, you know.
You wouldn't have this if it wasn't for me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Everything that, even though I'm the one busting my ass doing a lot of the work and the running around, you know, as soon as something starts getting to a certain level, you know, the rug gets pulled out and you got to remember who this, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, when you start, like, reading up on these things, you start, like you said, reflecting back, and you're like, man, I remember this incident, I remember that incident. How much money did I give this person? You know, how much, you know? And it's just, there's like
so many warning signs too that we just we don't adhere to because we don't want to. We want to see the good in people. So we're always seeking the better. Well, they didn't mean it this way. That's a justification, right? Well, they didn't mean it. It only happened once, you know, they said they're sorry. We justify it away. That doesn't make it okay, especially when it becomes like this dysfunctional habitual pattern, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, they, okay, you know, I look at, oh, well, they did do this good for me, or they helped me out here, you know? And it's just like, I mean, they'll just do enough. That I learned about gaslighting and all that during this whole process. So it's just like, it can happen on all levels, you know, not just in an intimate relationship, you know?
Yes.
And it's, I think, yeah, raising awareness on this topic is very important as well, you know, and.
Well, one of my listeners too had told me that the story resonated with them about their own mental health and the struggles that they had within to overcome a very dark place that they were in. So Devil's Prey to me has a lot of different meanings. You can interpret it a lot of different ways. But it all kind of surrounds, it's all surrounding and encompassing, you know, being in a very dark place, no matter the circumstances or the situation, and being able to rise above and out of that and become a better version of you. That to me, you know, is the bigger, broader story of Devil's Prey. But the spawning of writing that song really resonated from, you know, the experience that I had with a partner for many years.
Well, and I could see the correlation with, you know, struggling within our own head, because obviously, you know, I mean, there were some things that I was lacking when I first got into this friendship that I needed, you know, that I thought that obviously I didn't have boundaries, you know, I didn't, you know, and then I was just ripe for the pickings, I guess, as they say, for these types of people. And then,
yeah,
I guess through it all, you know, I look back, I try and look back with everything with some gratitude, because if it didn't kill me, it taught me something, you know, it made me stronger. Like I said, with my days of being an addict and even these relationships, it taught me, like, how I can, you know, I could be a better person. I can, how I didn't like being treated, how I want to treat others, you know?
Yes.
And, it sounds like we've been on kind of you know, similar paths. And I try and use this podcast as a way to spread a word, you know, and spread knowledge out there. And it's also healing for me, you know, to have these conversations with others. But and you're looking to do the same with your music, you know?
Yes. Well, to me, I feel like we need to get comfortable with the uncomfortable and having conversations about things that are ugly and dark. Not, and that's to say, not all of my music is dark and about, you know, really rough stories or rough waters, but it does relate in life. We do have to experience places to become better versions of ourselves, challenges that we have to overcome to just develop as humans. So, and I find that, you know, abuse in the home or, you know, mental abuse, those things aren't talked about enough. They're not put in the media enough. Addressing those things just as a country and as a state, we don't do enough of that. We need to get better about taking care of our people in all facets. And for me, mental health is a significant issue that needs to be brought forth. And we need to get comfortable with that uncomfortable conversation, because that's when change begins.
Yeah, I agree. And that, you know, especially, you know, with the mental health part, I mean, I usually have, you know, I'll have, I'm retired Navy. I'll have some veterans on here as well. And one thing that we'll always talk about, one of the questions I always ask a veteran is like, what can we do to break the stigma of PTSD? You know, I suffer from that, you know, and this is part of my healing. Like I said, doing this podcast, getting me out of my shell, talking about the uncomfortable things, you know, getting comfortable in the uncomfortable, so to speak. But also, like, we're talking about it. Somebody else might hear it and try and do the same. Right. You know,
yeah, absolutely. Similar. Well, God bless you for your service. I was a Navy brat growing up all my life. And so, and my stepfather was in Vietnam. And, you know, PTSD is a very real thing. And there is a lot of stigma around that, unfortunately. But I watch him live life as best he can every day. And he takes care of those things to be sure that he's taking care of himself and his mental health. And I got to say, you know, the VA has stepped up over the course of the last 15, 20 years and has really taken a strong hold in developing programs for our veterans that are much needed and long overdue. So I commend them and I commend you for your service. So thank you.
I can attest that the VA's definitely come a long way. I mean, especially for the, you know, I mean, said your stepdad was a Vietnam era vet, you know, they didn't have, I mean, my dad was a World War II Marine and they didn't have, it was just basically, you know, you suck it up and get back out to the workforce and whatever, you know, and now it's like they offer like this whole health program that does like, not just like, you know, it's not just throwing meds at you anymore. It's not just like throwing a Band-Aid on a wound. You know, we're getting into the spiritual. We'll get into the mind, body, spirit, you know. So definitely has come a long way, you know. And but there's still more we can all do.
Yeah, resources are so important. And we just, you know, for citizens out there that haven't been fortunate to get to the resources that the VA offers, you know, we need to be better. We need to do better as a nation in supporting everyone with mental health. So, and you know, veterans is a good start.
Yeah. And then, talked about Dear Dad and Devil's Prey are the, now they're going to be part of the EP that's getting ready to come out, correct?
Yes.
Settle the Score. What can you tell? What more can we expect? And when do you have a release date yet for the EP? Yeah.
Yes. So EP Settle the Score came from the songs that I had written that are all, you know, all originals and life experiences. It was an opportunity, a very cathartic opportunity to express and come full circle with experiences in my life. So that's where Settle the Score comes from. It's like, okay, I'm going to let you know how this was for me and what time it is now today. That will be releasing. It's a 6-track EP on February 23rd. That will be releasing on all streaming platforms worldwide. We also have a cover that we did of an amazing Breaking Benjamin song called Breath that is releasing next Friday, the 26th. So that'll be out next Friday. That'll be a single that is on the EP. And then, February 23rd will be our next release where we release all five of our originals and the Breaking Benjamin cover Breath. So we're really excited to bring a very eclectic sound to the world for experience. And it's quite a ride. It's quite a journey. The EP, you know, as it came full circle, a lot of stories to be told. So I'm very proud and very excited to share it with the world.
Nice. And then when, for fans that still like hard copies of stuff, will those be available, and where could they order or pick those
up? So we will have we'll have merch available. So we'll have t-shirts for anybody who wants to promo. We decided that Devil's Prey will be on the back of many shirts, women and men, with our Enemy of Fate logo on the front. We'll also be doing a vinyl release of the EP. So we're looking forward to bringing that out. We actually have our first debut show on March 9th in Roseville, California, at Goldfield Trading Post. Tickets can be purchased on vbartists.com, and the links are all over our socials. So anywhere you go to our link tree, you go to our social media, you can find an opportunity to purchase tickets to see us live. So we're really juiced about bringing that show to the public.
That's what I wanted to ask you as well. Like the name Enemy of Fate, how'd you come up with that, and what's that mean to you?
You know, it was really important for me to have a band name that sent a message. And so Enemy of Fate for me is about, you know, what is Enemy of Fate? What is the greatest enemy to our fate is time. So when you look at images of our band logo, you'll find that there's a clock and almost wilted flowers. And that's a reflection of the time that we don't allow ourselves to invest in our own destiny and the things that fire us up. And so we always, as humans, find that other things are more important or should be prioritized over our own personal passions and things that light us on fire and our own destiny. That is a personal experience of my own in life, you know. Years later, I have, you know, grown children and finally pursuing a career that really lights my fire, my core. And here we are. So, and it's never too late. It is absolutely never too late to pursue your passions. I don't care what your age is, what your circumstances are, even if it's just, you know, a little bit a day or a little bit a week that you invest in yourself and what drives your passion. That is where Enemy of Fate came from.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I'm 50 years old. I'm doing this podcast now. You know, it's like I served in the Navy, and everybody's like, "Oh, what do you do now?" And I'm like, you know, I mean, it's like it's a hobby, but it's fun, but it's become my passion. It's like I'm not like Joe Rogan cashing those checks or anything like that. But you know, it's therapeutic. You know,
if it lights your fire every day, if it gets you up in the morning and gets you moving, and you're excited to be doing what you're doing, whatever it is, do that. And it doesn't matter your age, you know, or your circumstance. Do what makes you happy and what drives you to get up out of bed every day and motivates you.
Amen. Yeah. And then before we get ready and wrap up, I wanted to ask, you know, you got the show coming up in March, the EP's releasing here at the end of February. What future goals do you have past that?
More music. We would love to tour. So we've been in discussions with several larger bands that are interested in taking us on tour. And then we're looking worldwide. So we're not afraid to explore overseas travel too. So, but we definitely want to get our feet wet. We've brought on a new drummer who's a very seasoned veteran, and literally he's a veteran drummer who's also drummed for many years. We have a new guitarist and a bassist, and they're all very excited to be involved in the development of our future music. So our goals in the long end is definitely more music, collectively as a band and not just a solo project, and taking it to the road. So you will definitely see us near Cleveland sometime soon.
Good. I hope so. You know, maybe, but come closer to the summertime. You don't want to come right now.
Yes, absolutely right. My stepson is in Iowa. He goes to Iowa State, and he just left yesterday to head back there from California's nice weather. So he calls us and he's like, dude, I'm hating it. It's 20 degrees out here. It feels like negative 30 with the wind chill factor. Like, I don't miss that.
Yeah, exactly. So. And you know, I haven't answered this question in a while, but I think I'd love to get your feedback on this. If you could send a message back to 12-year-old you, what would it be?
Oh, love myself. And it's okay to be who I am and to be proud of who I am to become. Yeah, for sure. Oh God, I'm going to start crying. Yeah. I was not a self-loving 12-year-old. I had a lot of doubt. I was just this tiny, frail, you know, mixed nationality. I'm Puerto Rican and Irish, and never felt like I had a place in the world. I didn't belong in certain crowds, and, you know, experienced the divisiveness of how cold people can be then. So definitely to tell my 12-year-old self to stand tall with my head held high and to love myself no matter what anybody told me or did to me, or didn't do. That would be the message I would send.
Nice. I knew I'd get a good one from you with that. And then who are three people who have inspired you and you can credit for making you the person you are today?
Well, no doubt my husband has been a huge, he's so loving and compassionate and understanding and so very patient with me. As you can see, I have no issue talking and expressing and sharing, right? Now, I would definitely say my husband. My mom has been a steadfast in my life always, no matter what has happened, no matter what I've done, no matter where I've been, she has always been a pillar, and I love her to death. So definitely number two. Well, she's number one, but my husband too. And then I had a teacher in school, Mr. Haber, when I went to Encinal High School in Alameda, California, who never gave up on me when I had no faith in myself at all and didn't have a care in the world. He was my high school teacher for 3 years. So Mr. Haber would be my third.
Shout out to Mr. Haber.
My game. Yep, absolutely.
I love asking that question because it's like, you know, you get a lot of the standards and rightfully so, you know, our parents and, you know, significant others and stuff like that. But, you know, once in a while I'll hear that amazing, you know, like that shout out to Mr. Haber. You know, it's like there are people of all walks of life in our journey that can either leave us a positive example or a negative one. And it seems like a lot of times we're running into more negative lately, but you know, the teachers like him, you know, that are out there, man, you know, keep it up, because you don't know how you're impacting, you know, people down the line. You're gonna get a shout out on today's Boondoggle podcast maybe someday.
There you go.
And then, are there any causes or organizations that you support and encourage others to check out?
Well, I was going to mention, yes, I would love people to drop some love on the organization that's called All Eagles Oscar. And it's an organization that helps veterans transitioning that have PTSD transitioning back into the real world. And they give them a housing in group to be able to transition them, particularly those that have experienced war in some capacity, whether it be Desert Storm, Desert Shield, you know, the ongoing experiences of our world today, and obviously veterans from, you know, Vietnam and World War II. So, yeah, they're an amazing organization we've supported for several years now. So I would definitely encourage everybody to check out alleaglesoscar.org.
Nice. And you don't have any kind of like connection with that group, do you? Because I always try and get veterans that are running organizations on here to help promote those organizations as well.
We do. We do have a contact. I'd absolutely love and be honored to get you in touch with them.
Awesome. Yeah. We would go through Shauna or whatever and make that happen or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. I make a promise and a commitment to you to get that information over to you. And I'm sure they would be honored to partake.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks, Tiffany. And then speaking of our veterans, any message you want to send to our men and women currently serving overseas?
Stay strong. Get home safe. We love you. We appreciate you. We honor you here in the States every single day. Those of us and those of us who have grown up in the military, those of us who haven't, we support you and thank you so much for keeping us safe.
Awesome. Tiffany, thank you so much for your time. It was great talking with you. Now, once again, before we let you go, if there's any of our audience members that want to know more and follow Enemy of Fate and see what you guys are up to and want to support you guys, where would you send them?
I would definitely send them over to our Instagram or our Facebook page. Instagram, we are probably the most active, or on our YouTube channel, they can get regular updates. Instagram, you'll get the most though, and that's Enemy of Fate Official.
Nice. Well, thank you so much again for your time, Tiffany. It was great talking to you, and thanks for, you know, just being transparent and writing from the heart, because those are the ones that touch. That's the music of the heart touches others. You know, that's how we best communicate, really, truly, to soul to soul. So, absolutely. Thank you for doing what you're doing, and wish you luck with everything, and. You know, you're getting two thumbs up for your voice from me. I don't care what those soulless people down there said.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate your time and for having me on today.
Hey, baby, this is Double D, also known as Dream Daddy. And I gotta tell y'all something about our new sponsorship here at today's Boondoggle. And the name is Dream Nutrition. So if you're looking to empower your human vitality, well, then you come to the right place. With over 12 years of combined experience in cannabinoids and terpene products, Dream Nutrition products include CBD oils, patches, proteins, and so much more. The endocannabinoid system is believed to have involvement in regulating physiological and cognitive processes, including the immune system, appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and in mediating the pharmacological effects of cannabis. Support this veteran-owned and operated company today, and today's Boondoggle fans will receive 10% off their orders when using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. That's BOONDOG10 at checkout. So go to the link. That's dreamnutrition.com/discount/boondog10. And remember, dream is not spelled like Dream Daddy. It's spelled D-R-E-E-M. And start saving today because you deserve to feel your best. And you know that's right. So tell them Dream Daddy and your friends from today's Boondoggle sent you.
Thank you for listening once again to today's Boondoggle Radio Show. Please be sure to check out our website, domaincle.com or todaysboondoggle.com for more shows and check out our archives. Follow us on social media at Today's Boondoggle on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter for more information about this podcast. And please support us on www.anchor.fm/todaysboondoggle, as well as on our GoFundMe and Venmo. Be sure to subscribe, comment, download, and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spreaker, and all the other podcast platforms out there. Please email us with any questions, suggestions, and comments via todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. Leave us some 5-star reviews and help spread the word. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you for tuning into this week's Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news and information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for supporting, sharing, and tuning into today's Boondoggle.